This is Insight on CAP Radio. I'm Beth Ruyak. A conversation about flu season and flu shots is typical this time of year. Flu doesn't seem to hit the western United States in full force until about January, but those flu shots start in August and September. If you're just joining us, I've been talking with Sacramento musician John Bafis, who became severely sick in November with a rare autoimmune blood disorder. He believes it was triggered by his flu shot. That's what we're going to explore. John has stayed with us in the studio. Thank you, John.
Thanks.
And with us now is Dr. Dean Blumberg, infectious disease specialist at the UC Davis Children's Hospital. He's the person we consistently go to for flu and flu vaccine questions. So, Dr. Blumberg, glad to have you with us.
Thank you.
And let's clarify here, you are not John's doctor.
No.
And John's not being treated at UC Davis.
Right. Not being treated at UC Davis. And I only see kids, so I don't do adults.
Okay, so let's start with this type of autoimmune blood disorder, and then let's get to the question or the suspicion about the relationship with the flu vaccine. So ITP, what more can you add about that disorder?
So it is rare, and in many cases it's not known what triggers it. Anything can trigger it, though. Anything in the environment, a variety of different things that can stimulate the immune system can cause the immune system to get out of whack, and then it does, the immune system attacks the platelets, and then the platelets end up being really low. And as John describes, once the platelets get so low, they're so important for clotting that if they get too low, then you can have bleeds anywhere, really. So it can be very scary and dangerous.
We all search the internet for symptoms. John, did you do a lot of that, looking around at
I've read so much about this stuff now.
Yeah.
It's crazy. I've looked at pretty much everything on the internet.
And you can look up ITP and vaccines, flu vaccines, and of course there's a lot of concern about vaccines that go awry in our bodies. What's the link? What's the study and the science that's been done that is out there about flu vaccine and ITP?
So there's a lot of studies looking at vaccines and platelets in general about depressing platelets. ITP is so incredibly rare, it's difficult to do studies to get good numbers and form those links. But similar autoimmune phenomena, things that people might have heard of, like Guillain-Barré syndrome, which is also rarely related to influenza vaccine, in years when that happens, it's about 1 to 2 per million doses. So that's really rare. So it's really difficult to make to study that and make those links. But we also know that in the background, without getting flu vaccine, Guillain-Barré syndrome occurs between 10 and 20 per million people. And so these kind of autoimmune phenomena can occur when the immune system is stimulated by a variety of things. Could be a vaccine, could be an infection, could be by something in the environment. And so it's really difficult to sort those things out.
So John was describing that maybe he might be the 25th case of this happening, but is it possible that the flu vaccine did trigger what he's experiencing?
Well, certainly it's hard to prove that, but certainly if you look at the timing, that's very suspicious, isn't it? So the timing of having that and then 3 days later being symptomatic, it's natural to form that link. And then we know that also with other vaccines, there have been very large studies, epidemiologic studies, looking at millions of people to try to sort those things out. And so this kind of rare complication may occur.
John, I want to open this up. You and Dr. Blumberg are just meeting here for the first time. Mm-hmm. Is there anything you'd like to ask him or explore a little more?
Yeah, one thing that someone brought up to me, there was only one doctor that brought this up to me, but it was something to do with a substance in the flu vaccine. I think that it was peptides or something that they said had a really similar structure to the human platelet, and maybe that the response of my antibodies was that it just thought that was part of the flu, you know?
Yeah, so there's two things in the flu vaccine that are important for us to be immune to prevent influenza. One of them is called hemagglutinin, and I think they're referring to that. And the other one's called neuraminidase. If we have a good immune response to the hemagglutinin, that helps protect us against actually getting infection with influenza. If we have a good response to the neuraminidase component, then if we get influenza, then it's less severe. So both of those are important. So I think they were probably referring to the hemagglutinin component.
So I know that you generally work with children, and from what I've read, their cases are generally more acute than adults as far as resolving themselves. But is this the kind of thing where, like, I imagine, I feel like, you know, it would, that my immune system will sort this out. You know, time heals many things. But also, it just seems like with the flu vaccine, don't those antibodies kind of cool off after a while?
Absolutely, yeah. So that's why we recommend the vaccine every year, because after about 6 to 8 months, the antibodies fall down below the level that's protective. And so the antibodies themselves can go down. However, with the ITP, I'm not sure that it's related to the antibodies themselves. And there's other components of the immune system that I think could be attacking the platelets.
Yeah, that's been a tricky one. They've been trying to sort it out. And, you know, I've done a number of different treatments. We've done a prednisone high dose. I'm weaned down to a very low dose now, and we'll be off in the next few days because I haven't done anything.
I'm jumping in here really quickly to just clarify a couple basics. There's nothing contagious about his situation, is there?
Nothing at all.
However, he is vulnerable to germs or to people around him because of his immunity situation, correct?
Absolutely. So there's a couple things that make John more vulnerable to infection. And the main thing is the splenectomy that you had, which the spleen is a major immune organ. And that's removed in order to try to protect the platelets, because a lot of the platelet destruction can take place in the spleen. But the spleen is also important in terms of immune function to prevent many other infections. So that's one reason. And then the prednisone itself can suppress the immune system. Mm-hmm. So that's why, in general, if it's not working, there's no reason to continue it, because it can have significant side effects. So certainly, yeah, there's increased vulnerability to many infections.
Yeah. So I did have to get a mandatory 3 different vaccines for bacterial.
So for pneumococcus and for meningococcus, that's usually given before the splenectomy, if that can be scheduled before the splenectomy.
Yes. So I had to do 2 weeks after it, basically.
Yeah.
But I got those.
Sometimes
it
can't be done. Yeah.
Can I get to the concept of getting a flu shot then and concerns that people have? And some people have a concern about vaccines in general, but the flu shot in particular. And I'd also like to hear, John, what you're saying to people, what you think now after your experience.
Well, that's tricky. I'm not saying don't get a flu shot, because obviously most people do and they're fine. But I also am saying that it's a little disturbing how hard they push it on everybody. And it's just this thing in the lobby and on the front page of the website, and the first thing they say on the phone line, get your flu shot. Go right here, get your flu shot. But there's nothing about, like, oh, by the way, there are really serious things that can happen to you adversely. They don't say that. And I don't think that you should be expected to do scholarly research just to know what you're getting into with a very laid back, like, this will protect you kind of thing. I don't want to say they're being deceptive, but, you know, with the setup, and, you know, this is just like, I've been in Kaiser mostly, but the flu shots are everywhere.
But it's an opportunity to be candid and to be right here with a doctor saying sometimes the thoughts that you keep to yourself, Dr. Blumberg.
Yeah, it can be really tricky. So I think you've made some good points. It can be really tricky. So one of the issues with influenza, with flu, and one of the reasons that there's a big push for the vaccine, is that we know that thousands of people die every year from influenza in this country. And me, taking care of kids, on average, there's more than 100 deaths in children every year from influenza. And yet our vaccine rate among kids and adults is about 50%. Mm-hmm. And since it's so low, and we know that we can prevent people from dying, that's why there is this big push. And then how do you balance that with these incredibly rare reactions like that you had? It's much less than 1 in a million. And the chances of something like that happening are like less than getting hit by lightning twice. And so, you know, it's really rare. And so how do you balance the education with that? And I don't know. I don't really know the answer, but it's really, what happened with you is really incredibly rare.
So basically, I won the opposite of the lottery.
Exactly. Mm. Exactly.
Mm. You're listening to John Bayfus and Dr. Dean Blumberg from UC Davis. We are talking about John being quite ill with a rare autoimmune blood disorder and his belief that it was connected to his flu vaccine. I do want to talk about the platelet aspect here just a little bit, because you're going in to get platelet transfusions, which means somebody is donating platelets, and that might be an arena that people aren't aware of.
Right. And I wanted to mention that because when I was listening to it, I was thinking of my day today and my schedule. Coincidentally, I have an appointment later this afternoon to donate platelets. And so I will be donating platelets with our local Vitalant, which is our blood donation service in our community. And for platelets, you know, I do that every 2 weeks. And so I would just encourage people that, you know, it's like I've got a bunch of them. You know, I don't need them all. So I'm happy to, like, share them with other people. So I would encourage other people to do that. And I enjoy doing that. The staff there is wonderful, always makes you feel welcome. And really, people like John can benefit from that.
Well, they're saving your life, aren't they, right now, those transfusions?
Yeah, they did while I was in surgery, you know. And the ER gave it to me one night unnecessarily. Those are the only two actual and one when I got a bone marrow biopsy. But as far as those transfusions, different things have been more effective in the past, like IVIG infusions, and I started getting Rituxan infusions about a month ago, and I feel like those are starting to benefit me, actually.
The rituximab, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Let me cover a couple quick basics. We are coming into flu season. How's this flu season looking? And how effective is the flu shot appearing to be in other parts of the world?
So right now, it looks like the flu season is ramping up. We know there's widespread activity in California, and every single county in California has widespread influenza activity. And what's unusual this year is the strains that are circulating. Normally, we start off with influenza type A strains. Those are the ones that are very common, like the H1N1 that people have heard of. This year, the B strains are the predominant strains. About two-thirds of the circulating strains are influenza type B. They normally end up being the last part of the year. But the match between the circulating strains and the strains that are included in the vaccine, so far, it looks like there's a good match. So it looks as if the vaccine is going to be protective, and it's not too late to get your vaccine if you haven't been vaccinated.
Okay, well, John, I'm going to give you the final thoughts here. No one can come through an experience like this and not have a different perspective on life.
Yeah, geez. I've definitely thought at a number of different times in the last 2 months that I was probably at the end of my days, or at least, and I know anything can happen to anybody at all times, but being in sort of this heightened state of vulnerability has been really weird. And normally, I have a tendency to get a little dark with stuff, but I've been strangely upbeat, almost more than usual, which has been nice. Actually, in a way, it's kind of, I feel like I've seen more good in things. I'm just trying to enjoy the moments, you know? Hoping for the best. I don't feel like there's anything else I can do.
Thank you for this conversation, which I think is unusual, has been candid. I appreciate you both being willing to be here. And of course, we wish you the best, John.
Thank you.
Absolutely. Yeah. Thank you.
John Bayfus, Dr. Dean Blumberg. You can find more background on this conversation online at capradio.org/insight. Again, thank you both. And that's Insight for today. I'm Beth Ruyak. Thanks for joining us.